my heart is with missionaries. I love missionaries. And I remember the time that we would go into churches, and there were some churches that you just naturally enjoyed being with, the folks. Other times you wanted to get out of there as quick as possible. And I don't know what the secret was or what the detriment was, but there are just some churches where people really love on you and you feel a part of the family. And so I trust that by the end of this day, when the Compton family goes back to their hotel and then back to Michigan, that they will really have said, you know what, this church loves us and cares about us, because we do truly do. If you don't, I'll have a word in my office with you later, okay? Our strategy here as a church, we've tried to put together a mission strategy, and we're still in the process of developing that. We have a missionary in Africa, the McMillans. We have a missionary in Europe, in the country of Ireland, the McMillans. And now, last year, around May, I think it was, or shortly afterwards, we took on the Comptons to be our missionary representing us in Asia. What a blessing it's been to hear about your ministry and the trip that you took last summer. And so we're excited about what God has been doing. But you know, as we talked about it as a missionary committee, we want to do more to help your family. And so we thought, what can we do? Can we send a special gift over? Can we send people over? Yes, we can do those things. But we decided 2 weeks ago in our missions, in our annual meeting, to increase your support from $100 a month to $200 a month. And so we just wanted to let you know that we're behind you guys, and we want to be a part. We want you to go to Thailand. Now, it's not like get out of here, but we want to help you to go. And so we're excited about the Clay Center and all that God is doing. So come and tell us more about your ministry and about that trip. And again, we're glad to be a part of your ministry.
Well, thank you again for having us come. This is one of the churches that we're excited to be a part of, and we do feel blessed and encouraged and loved after we leave. So it happened last time, and we've already felt that this time. And thank you for both your prayer and financial support. It goes a long way for us, and you were a part of everything that's going on in Thailand in this summer, and some of the things that we're going to be sharing with you has New Life's name on it because of all of your support and partnering with us. I did want to first start by reading a verse. The theme verse for the Clay Center is Isaiah 64:8. But now, O Lord, you are our Father, we are the clay, and you are our potter. We are all the work of your hand. And this verse means a lot to us in our ministry. For those of you that were part of the Sunday School Hour with us this morning, the children that we're working with don't know what a father looks like. And when we can say to somebody, you have a father, you have a dad that loves you and cares for you, that's who we want to introduce them to, is their father. And not only do they have a father, but they're the work of his hand. They were created on purpose for a purpose. And that's everything we're basing our ministry around, is introducing these kids to their father. And then, hey, now you've got a purpose, too, in reaching out to their families and other ties. So that's what the Clay Center is all based around. And we talked this morning about the need and how the youth are hurting and how they don't trust adults, certainly to people that don't look anything like them. And why would we? Their exposure to Westerners is not a pleasant one, especially for those that are coming in as tourists in the country. So why would they trust us? So we're going to be sharing this morning of ministries that we have and our vision to first not only the ultimate goal is to evangelize, but first we just have to get them to trust us. And then we build our relationships with them, and then we can reach them with the gospel. And it's starting to take form. This summer, we took a group of 38 with us. It was a large group. I don't know if I'll ever do that large of a group again, but it was a large group, and we were able
Unless
to do a lot.
Unless you want to bring 38 people, then we'll do it again.
But transportation was a little tricky. But we took a group of 38 with us this summer to start kicking off the Clay Center Ministries. And you'll see throughout this presentation, Pastor Mark says, you know, when you send a group, we thrive on groups coming because Everyone's got a unique talent that we're using, that we can use over there. But we first want to start, this is our family, and I say our family, we didn't take the two little ones with us because of how crazy of a schedule we were going to have, and they do remind us that they didn't get to go. But we have a face in there that you've not met before, and that's Camille in the middle between Liz and Maddie, and she's Kenzie's best friend. She's been on the basketball team with Kenzie. She went to camp at Lake Ann with Kenzie two summers ago. And got saved at camp. And Kenzie had been bringing her to youth group, and we said, hey, Camille, what do you think about going to Thailand with us and spending those 2 weeks with us over there? And she's like, there's no way it's going to happen. I guess you can tell the story better than I can.
Well, she was, like, excited about it. She wanted to go. She went home and said something to her mom about it. Her mom said, absolutely not. No, no way. And
her mom's not a believer.
Yeah, her mom isn't saved. And Kenzie and Camille hang out a lot. So then, Kenzie would be over at her house hanging out. And Camille would say, hey, Kenz, tell my mom about, that Thailand trip that you guys are going to be going on. And they'd get talking about it. Her mom would say, Camille, no. And, they get together again and start talking about it. And her mom finally said, Camille, you're starting to become disrespectful. Do not bring it up to me again. She's like, that's it. You're not going. Don't bring it up. And so she respected her mom, didn't say anything about it. And then it was the day that they handed out the application packs to all the teens and adults that wanted to go on the trip. And Camille took one, and she said, Laura, will you just pray all afternoon? Because I'm going to ask my mom one more time. And so we were praying about it, and then I actually said, how about I just text her? So it's not coming from you. It'll come from me. I'll just, because there was going to be a parent meeting that night with the parents, just kind of letting them know about the trip. And so she's like, yeah, you do that. Well, I ended up texting her later in the afternoon, but before I could text her, her brother had come with her mom to pick her up from church that morning, her older brother, and her brother saw her holding this pack of papers in her hand. He's like, what are all of those? So she said, it's an application for this trip to Thailand. And her mom started to get like, Camille and her brother was like, what? What is it about? And so she started telling her brother about it, and then she said how there's a parent meeting tonight to get more information for it. And so by the time I texted her mom, long story short, by the time I texted her mom responded back. She said, I've already talked to Camille. I've agreed to come. Just so that she, so she's like, so I'll come to the meeting tonight, but that's it. So her mom came to the meeting, and by the end of the meeting, our youth pastor just, introduced himself to people and just his love for the teens and his, the whole purpose. It's not like it's this great tourist thing. It's your kids are going to work hard. Your kids are going to just all the different things that go into the trip. By the end of the meeting, her mom looked at me and said, she is definitely going on this trip. So then there were other hurdles to get over, getting her dad's approval for her. She comes from a broken home, her dad's approval to go. They didn't think that he would ever sign off for her to get a passport. God just started working the miracles right from the beginning. Dad signed right away. She got work, and she was the first kid to have 100% of her support in to go on the trip.
So Camille got to experience God's provision, number one, and, if it's his will, he'll work it out. And it was also Camille's mom, Marshall, got to kind of see God work in Camille's heart as well. So you can continue to pray for Camille and Marshall and their family, that we can keep reaching out to them and see that family come to the Lord. Now, you don't have to worry. If you come and see us, those snakes aren't everywhere. We just picked one up when we were in one of the night markets and held it. Laura kind of held it. She didn't really hold it. She's holding it with two fingers.
Another quick blessing about Camille going, just as a mom, being able to see God working in all of that. Kenzie's biggest struggle, before we went on the trip, I was beginning to see Kenzie struggling with how we kind of mentioned this morning, the coming from a big school and going to a small school. And Kenzie loves soccer. And her starting to get her mind around, well, what is my soccer team going to be like in this really small school? And I saw her beginning to struggle with probably what she'll be dealing with the most culturally, her culture shock, just that difference in school sizes. And it's going to be her senior year while we're there. Being there, Camille being there alongside her, Camille went with her to go and look at the new school she'll be going to. And Camille constantly being by her side, it was like God was just speaking right through Camille's mouth to her, constantly saying, oh, my word, Kenzie, you are so lucky. Your senior year, you're going to get to do this. Your senior year is going to be this. My senior year is just going to be like everybody else's senior. Your senior year. So just as a mom, for my heart, that was how God really helped to encourage my heart and really encouraged Kenzie, because she's just excited to go now. So
while we were there, we did a bunch of different things. We started out by working in the orphanage and helping along Agenda. Partners will introduce you to in a second. Lay some concrete for the boys and girls' dorms and all of that. We got into the schools, then we ran some outreach events as well. But with a large group, this was our source of transportation. You're like, well, how do you cram, you know, 38 people into three trucks? And that's kind of what it looked like most of the time driving through Thailand. The kids thought it was great. We did learn that there are some weird traffic laws in Thailand. The driver has to be buckled, but then you can also ride on the top of the truck like that with no worries. So the other thing is the driver of a moped has to wear a helmet, but the three-month-old baby does not, that he has on his, or the other four people he has in the back of his moped, don't. So they've got some interesting traffic rules, but this is how we drove around through Chiang Rai and just moved our large group through there. The cool thing about that is this is Singh. He was the owner of three of the trucks that provide transportation for us the 2 weeks that we were there. From what we know, Singh is not a believer. But Dave Ford, who is over there now, he's who we're going to be partnering with once we're over there. He's used Singh on multiple occasions for their groups. By the end of our 2 weeks, Singh was sitting in all of our gospel presentations. He was just involved. When we first started, he had like a hammock that he would put underneath his truck and just sleep in it while we were doing our things throughout the day. But by the end of the trip, he was just totally engaged with what we were doing, and he heard the gospel presented multiple times. Mm-hmm. So we're excited to go back and have Singh be our driver again and just keep working and watching God work in his life. So you can be praying for Singh that him hearing the gospel will God will start working in his heart. But that was really cool to see that happen. Well, our first way of getting in front of these children over there and building the relationship is through the schools. That's how we're getting to meet them. English is a huge tool over there. These children want to learn English because the number one source of revenue for the country is tourism. And most of the tourism is coming from the U.S. and Europe, and they want to learn American English. So the more they learn American English, the better jobs they can get and the better universities they can get to. So they have a huge desire to learn American English, which is great because that's what we speak. That's a tool that we have. So that's our hook to get into the schools. We reach out to the headmasters and we say, hey, we'd like to come in, spend some time in your classes, and just teach them English. And especially in Chiang Rai, they don't have access to that. Chiang Rai is in the far north. We went to one school that was about 2 hours away from where our hotel was, and an hour and a half of that was on a dirt road winding up a mountain. So they had never seen people like us there. So we said, hey, we're going to teach you some English. And we spent a lot of the day, with each age group, that's what their classrooms look like, just to get an idea of what we're working with in there. And that's Liz teaching, you know, just going through pictures and just talking to them in English and teaching them English. We had every age group, so every level of English was being taught when we were at these schools. And the kids ate it up. The headmasters ate it up. It was just a great tool for us to be able to get in and say, hey, we have something we can provide that's of value that you need, and we don't want really anything in return. Then what I did with Laura and a group was we ran the PE, if you want to call it that, / recess hour, and we just played games with them. They're phenomenal soccer players, so we can't really teach them any skills, but we introduced them fun drill games that they can play, and we just had fun being goofy with these kids and running around with them during the recess hour. and just talking with them, getting to know them a little bit, and again, just having fun. So soccer was a big tool, and then we had a group teach them some American sports, and that's football. They had never seen a football before, and we had to say American football because they call soccer futban is what they call it over there. So we got them. All right, here's the football. You can pass it. You can run it. You know, we just kind of teach them the basics of a football. And you should have heard the giggles and laughter coming out of it. Just learning something new that's American was just a lot of fun. And we even got the girls involved. It was funny. At first, the girls weren't doing anything because they won't play with the boys because the boys are a little rough. And they get shy and timid, and they don't want to do anything with them. So after, like, the first session, Laura said, hey, I think we need to run something with just the girls. I'll take the girls over here. You do the boys over here. And then the girls were all involved, and they were having fun with that. Actually, if you see those purple Pennies jerseys, we had them made, and we brought them over with us, and we left them there because it's going to be part of what we're going to be doing at the Clay Center. But we want to start getting the Clay Center brand and name and ministry out there. So we have that on there, and we separated them all up. We had 7 or 8 different colors, and that's one of the things that your support has allowed us to help purchase is things like that so that we can run and have different teams. They all wear the same uniform, so we had to figure out how to separate them up. So those pennies that we have been using over and over now, and they've been using them since we've left. But anyways, we had the girls playing. And by the end of the time at our schools, we even had them organized. So we had the lines of scrimmage. They were blocking. They were grunting. They were yelling. They were true football players by the end of the week. Well, by the end of the day that we had with them. We also had a dentist. A good friend of mine is a dentist, and he came over. And we called the headmasters ahead of time and said, "Hey, we're bringing a dentist, and we set up a whole dental clinic." That's Liz again, doing some of the nurse work with it. And, you know, pick out, we'll be there for, we were at the schools for all day, right? 6 hours. So pick your students who are in the most pain. They don't have access to dentist over there. So he did a lot of extractions. He did some fillings. We gave them all toothbrushes and toothpaste and gave them some medicine. And that was just another thing that we can do that, hey, we love you. We want to help you out. So that was a big part of what we were doing over there as well. The kids were a little freaked out at first, you know, because they see this kid lying down, this guy with these glasses and a light coming in and ripping things out of their mouths. So Kenzie took some time playing games on the phone with them to kind of calm down the waiting room a little bit, too. So, but it was really, just really neat to see how thankful the kids were that, hey, you took the pain, you know, out of my mouth. And so that was something that we were able to help with the headmasters and the schools out with as well. We weren't sure how it would work when they go home. We went to school today, and these Americans are there. Now I have 4 less teeth in my mouth, but they were very thankful for everything that we did.
And that is a huge way to reach into the parents, too, just that this man came and just helped their kid, and they didn't do anything for that help. So that does go a long way in speaking into the homes of these kids.
Our whole goal when we were there is we didn't present the gospel at all. We did have some time during the lunch time when one group of kids, the younger kids, were having lunch. We did a question-answer time, and myself and Gon, who was my translator, we did question-answer time. You ask us any question you want, and we'll answer it, and then we'll ask you a question. We just got to know each other and have some fun that way. But we used that time to present the gospel. Our whole goal was to build relationships with these kids, gain their trust, and have the headmasters okay with us coming back once we're there full time so we can keep getting into the schools and just being a regular presence there in the schools. We were able to go to 3 different schools while we were there. And afterwards, I don't know if I have a picture of it. Yeah, afterwards they would all line up and sit down on their concrete play area. And we just kind of did a hey, goodbye. You know, we hope we can come back. Each school that we were at begged us to come back. The headmaster was like, will you please come back? Will you please come back? Will you please come back? By the 3rd school, word got out that we were doing this. We had headmasters from other schools coming and begging us to come to their schools and do what we were doing at their schools as well. One headmaster even came to us. He says, I don't even care if you talk about your Jesus. Just come. So God's opening doors just by talking English, playing sports and having someone that can help them out there. So we're excited to get back and start that process. Now, the process with that while we were there is come to some of the Clay Center events. So we invited them to come to our weekend sports days that we had. And so we rented out a field, and we just had a day where we played soccer, and then we taught them another American sport. And then we brought them in lunch and drinks, and then that's when we did our gospel presentation. And we weren't sure how that was going to turn out, but we said, hey, we'll invite all the kids to the schools, and we'll invite some of the other local schools and just see how that works out, see if it works for when we go back full-time. We taught them each school the chicken dance, too, so we got a little goofy with them at the end. At the end as well, and they just have fun. If you're there paying attention to them and just loving on them, their walls break down and they're just all about you being there. And they just hug you and they don't want you to go.
Well, even during the one question answer time, one of the kids did ask, you know, why are you guys here? Why did you come all this way? Because one, they didn't know, you know, where Michigan in America was. So once we explain, it's on the absolute opposite side of the world. Why did you come this far? Why did you come here? And one of our kids just jumped up right away and said, because we love you. And the room just erupted with, you know,
applause and
clapping
laughter,
and laughter. And so
these kids don't have that. So it's big for a group to come and just love on them, just for who they are. I guess the Friday night, before we jump into the sports day, we did we rented out a local university, or we were going to rent out a local university's auditorium hall or whatever. And we're going to say, okay, Gan used to be a very popular musician in Bangkok before he got saved. His testimony is amazing. We got to know him a little bit over there, and then he came over to Michigan in the fall, and we really got to know him and hear his testimony. But he said, hey, what if I put together a band and we do a concert, and then... So then we got thinking, okay, we can have some of the high school students do some mimes that, you know, don't require them speaking Thai, but it'll have a gospel message to the mime. So we started putting all together. We rented out a hall. We brought in popcorn and drinks and all that. And we're like, we'll see how it takes off. That Friday night,
for starters, the university ended up giving us the hall for free, because they were just excited about what we were doing. So
yeah.
It cost us nothing.
So it didn't cost us anything. The university just gave us the hall. So that was really cool. And it's
a Buddhist university.
Yeah, a Buddhist university. So we handed out 1,000 tickets in the community. We thought, okay, we'll see what happens. We learned a little bit about what Thai time is as well. You know, things start here. We say it starts at 5:30. You might have, well, we're Baptist, so some come in late, some don't. But... normally, it starts at 5:30. So we started the concert at 5:30, and it was going to go until, I don't know, 9, I think. I forget what time it was. So 5:30 showed up, and we had pretty much 10 people from the church were there. We're like, oh, man, this is going to be a flop. 6:30 came around, and we had about 100 people from the church that were there. And we're like, okay, we're not doing this for the church. We're doing this for the community. And Gan came up to us and said, give us until 7:30. All right. I said, okay. So 7:15 rolls around, and these truckloads of people just start pouring into the, like what you saw, the Songtel trucks. And kids are just unloading. University students are unloading out of them. Families are unloading out of them. We had over 900 people show up to this concert. 200 are from the church, so about 700 people showed up in the Chiang Rai area that have never heard the gospel before. So we were very excited to see that happen and kind of grasp, okay, they like music too, so we have to figure out some ways to incorporate music into what we're going to be doing as well. And we did Gan put together some Christian concert songs that they did, and we intermixed some mimes with those, and they were very engaged with those mimes. Laura's going to talk about it in a second. I don't know what pictures I have of that. So that's what the hall looked like with the ties. And then at the end, we did praise and worship. And the thing that would just send chills down our spine is we would put the words up in ties so they could read along with what we were singing. And praise was going up to God in multiple languages. Some were singing their tribal language, some were singing in Thai, and then we were singing in English. And that was like, we kind of got a glimpse of what heaven's going to sound like a little bit. Just everyone worshiping the same God in their own language. And we were just so pumped with how that went. And Laura wants to talk a little bit about what the mimes were like, especially one.
Well, yeah, I mean, that all came after this. This mime here, I don't know if you've ever seen the Lifehouse mime, but basically it's, Jesus creates a person, and it's this great relationship that they're having together, but then Satan starts bringing things of the world in to distract God's creation. You know, one first, brings guy in to, kind of start pulling her, drifting her away from Jesus. Then money, another thing that distracts us from God. Then, alcohol, all these things that just kept pulling Kenzie further and further away from Jesus. The whole time Jesus is still there on the side, still calling for her and calling for her, but she's constantly being distracted by these other things. But as that's going on, she's becoming more and more just desperate and lost, to the point where Satan finally, creeps in and just tempting her with just end it all. He gives her a knife.
The thing that resonated with them was those that were pulling her away were dressed in black, and they had the impression of spirits that were beating them down and pulling her away. So I think that resonated with them a little bit.
Yeah. And, just finally he hands her a gun to just, end it all, be rid of all of this. And so she's there contemplating this, and she finally, makes a decision, no, I'm going to go back to Jesus. And she turns to go, but then all these things of the world just really come in and start beating her down and keeping her from getting to Jesus. And she's trying, but they just keep beating her and beating her and beating her, to the point where they just finally have her on the ground, defeated. But then Jesus comes in and steps in between her and all of them, and he just starts taking all of the beatings for her. When that happened, this entire auditorium of almost 900 people jumped up and just started cheering and applauding and screaming and yelling, just cheering for this man. And they had no idea who he is at this point. This is a mime. They don't know who the figure that Jesus is playing, but they were in love with him and so excited for him. And then Jesus finally throws all these things off and defeats them. And he picks Kenzie up from the ground, brushes the dirt off of her, hugs her, and their relationship is reunited. And they are just cheering for him and in love. And after all of that, we also had another mime of a mask, the mask that we hide behind. And the Thais hide behind a lot of masks. I mean, you go there, they're smiling, they're happy. You think they're this great, bubbly, happy group, but there's so much turmoil going on behind. And so then watching this mime of again, this other figure coming out and taking all these masks down, exposing who they really are, and still loving them for who they really are without their masks. Well, after all these, Dave comes up, our partner, with our interpreter, and then he shares with them who this person was, that this is Jesus, and he shares with them who Jesus is, and shares the gospel with them, that this same Jesus is willing to do the same for all of them, to take all the beatings, to step in, take their mask off, and love them for who they are, and just to fight for them. It was just that. That's what we're going there to do, is to introduce them to who Jesus is, just in our lives. Make them see Jesus in us, so that before we even say his name, they know they want him. And that's what happened in these mimes. And then Gon went on to lead a worship praise and worship time, and you had these people who had never heard the name of Jesus before, now coming up and singing praises to our God. It was amazing.
It really fired us up for saying, okay, there is some follow-up now for us. We got their email addresses out, and we're emailing them when we have more events coming up. So the groundwork was laid. You know, 700 people heard the gospel for the first time, and we are just thrilled to go over there and start watering those seeds that have been planted. And we'll be sharing a little bit here, too, about some of that follow-up that's already happening over there. So that was Friday night, one of the Friday nights. The next day, coming off this high, okay, now we've got our sports day that we had planned, that we invited all these kids to. And again, we weren't sure who was going to show up or what was going to happen. And when we first got there, we're going to teach them some basketball. We brought some baseball stuff, too, because that's my favorite sport. But we were going to start off with some basketball. I told the group beforehand, we got there, and the basketball courts weren't great. So we pulled out Plan B in baseball, and we had a blast. At first, they had no idea. They were hitting each other with the bats, and they didn't know really what to do with them. They were wiffle ball bats. We brought wiffle balls. We brought a bunch of bases, and we left it all over there. But we just said, okay, no, here's the positions. Here's what you get three outs. You have to hit the ball. You got to run to first. Then kids started flocking around, and we had three games going. We had 200 kids show up to the sports day. So we had three games of baseball going. We had soccer going. And again, it was just a day for us to have fun and hang out with these kids and get to know them a little bit more. And some of them, you know, don't know where lunch or their next meal outside of school is going to come from, so we brought in lunch. And after lunch, there's some pictures of us playing soccer with them. There's our dentist, who he probably ripped out some of their teeth that day, and now he's playing soccer with them that Saturday. And I should go back. When we start, there's a couple of times throughout our time there that we just show up to a field, we brought a bunch of soccer balls, and we just started playing soccer, and kids just started showing up from nowhere. So this you roll out a ball, it's just a draw to kids who don't have access to balls or fields, you know, like that. So then we sat them down for lunch, and we got them some drinks, and then we shared the gospel with them. Again, these are kids who've never heard the name of Jesus. Over 200 kids got to hear the name of Jesus and what he's done for us for the first time. And we've done some follow-up with them afterwards and some things like that. So the seeds, again, are being planted with these schools, these kids at these schools, and they're listening and they're attentive and they're having questions. So God's really starting to work in the lives of these youth in northern Thailand there. And it's, you know, we weren't even sure if they would sit and listen. These kids just sat and they listened and they soaked it all. They soaked it all in. It was really great to see that. Some of the other things that we met when we were over there were partners that we're going to be working with. God's really putting a great team together for us over there. We're going to rely heavily on nationals as well. So for language number one, they know the culture number two, they can kind of walk us through some things, and eventually we want them running everything over there, and then we'll go and start a center somewhere else. But we want this to be national, really driven and run. So we met some partners over there that we're very excited, and we're going to introduce you to them so you can start praying for them as well.
Because they're your partners.
They're your partners too. Yeah, they're all your partners now too. I can't remember if we shared the story of Alung and Jinda the last time we were here. Alung is the guy in the far right, and his wife Jinda is right next to him, and then his sister Amy is right here on the far left. Alung and Amy were orphaned at 9, and they bounced around from hostel to hostel from like 9 to 16, I think it was, and then a missionary that ran a hostel took them and he got saved. And he and Amy both got saved, but Alung went into business. He didn't want to be in full time ministry, but God kept working in his heart, saying, "Hey, there's kids that are just like you that need to hear the gospel." And Alung started the CFPM, which is the Children and Family Prison Ministry. These kids that you see right here are kids whose parents are incarcerated, and they were left on the street to fend for themselves because no one would take them in. Their parents have, number one, shame the family, so nobody wants anything to do with their kids. Or number two, They didn't know what evil spirits those kids would be bringing into their home, so they were just left to fend for themselves. Well, Lung built two dorms to be a dad to these 12 kids, and he's does daily Bible studies with them and brings them to when he brought them to all of our outreach events that we did what we had going on there, and he brings them to church. And he and Jinda are the mom and dad to these kids. We spent some time helping them with their facilities and building them. And one of the things that we're partnering with them is we're Alung grows and roasts his own coffee beans in Doi Chang, and he sells the coffee, and it's really good coffee.
The best coffee.
And he uses those funds to help with the help fund his thing, but it's not enough. They've got another 8 kids on the waiting list. So we also connect him with people here that can help fund his ministry there. But we just partner alongside him. Along, what do you need? We need to bring a group out to do, you know, help you build, do things. We built cabinets for all their. We brought a builder with us, and he built all cabinets for all their dorms. So they had kitchen cabinets and cupboards and things like that. But one of the exciting things we heard. So we left there in.
Beginning of July.
Let me take a step back. Alung doesn't just minister to the kids. His heart is for their parents as well. So what Alung does once a month is he takes the kids to the prison to continue to build that relationship with their parents, to show that love. Really, it's the love of God to their parents. You know, you haven't shamed us. We still love you. And he won't take it. Most of these parents are in jail from 10 years to life. So if the parents do get out, they'll have somebody they've already got a relationship built with, and it can be another ministry and discipleship tool there. But in November, Talan, which is wearing number 2, Nami, who he's hugging, Bram, who's wearing number 3, and David, Bram's got his arm around, in November they got saved. So we were very excited to hear the news of that. And Bing, who is next to Jinda, he's, I guess, the tallest one out there, he graduated while we were there. He graduated high school while we were there. So we made a big deal of him, and he went on to university, his first state university, while we were there. But he's got a real heart for reaching the youth as well. So he's going to be going to Bible school once he's done with university, and he wants to come work at the Clay Center with us as well. So God's really starting to use these partners to help invest in the lives of the youth over there and be a huge asset to us as well. Alung also gets involved. Alung's a great soccer player, so he helps getting the word out in the community with us as we're running our outreach events and our soccer nights. So that's very exciting to hear. And one of the things that we're doing with the Clay Center is We have an emphasis of the youth and getting involved and building lives with youth. We also want to reach. I have a passion to reach some of these men in the community as well, and men don't show up to English outreach events. You know, English is a huge tool, like I said. And they'll run some the Grace Language School will run some English outreach events. The men don't show up to that. It's pretty much all women driven, but the men will show up to play soccer. So we rent out fields, and we'll invite the men to come and play. And Dave, as of, I was talking with him last week, he's having 40 to 50 men show up to play soccer on a given night. So then that's been happening for about a month or two?
About a year.
About a year?
He's been
okay,
the
he's been
fields.
Doing that. Okay, so about a year. About a month or two ago, he said, okay, I'm going to start doing a Bible study, and we'll see if these guys keep showing up. 40 or 50 guys are showing up still, even though he's doing the Bible study. So going to be taking that off, helping take that off as well, doing it more nights a week once we get over there, because Dave can't do it all. And that's just another aspect of that. And Alung has been a huge help of that, getting the word out, hey, soccer's coming. He shows up. He's playing with us. We have a couple other of the people from the church show up. So it's not just an American thing. It's a Thai ministry that's going on there. So that's how we're partnering with CFPM, and he brings some of his kids to it as well, so we can get those relationships built with them as well. We talked about Bing. We're very excited for him to have that passion for his people and want to come and reach and be a part of what we've got going on there. So you can be praying for Bing and Along and Jinda. And this is Pon. Pon is from the Karen tribe, so he's not, he lives in Thailand. He's not considered Thai. He's considered a tribal. He's in Bible school right now as well. And here's what's really cool about what he's going to be doing through the Clay Center. We're actually, those of us that are partnered with the Clay Center are supporting him so that he can go to Bible school. And then the Clay Center, he'll be, you know, I guess an employee. He'll be supported by the Clay Center so he can work full time with us. He is running, he came to Dave and said, hey, Dave.
After seeing what we did with the kids, you know, like going into the schools and having our day that we had for all the school kids to come to, he saw how that worked. So then he went to Dave.
And he said, hey, Dave, I've got some people I know in Myanmar, and I think we can run that ministry over there too. Well, Myanmar is a closed country. We can't get in there and do that. But since Pon is Karen, he can walk across the border without any problems because they don't recognize him as...
as a person.
As a person, really, or as a native to any country. He's tribal, so he goes back and forth. So he walked into Myanmar, and he started spreading the word of what we've got going on, and he wanted to do some soccer days over there. So we couldn't do them in Myanmar, so we did them right at the border in Thailand, the Myanmar and Thai border, and they all walked over. And now he's got about 30 guys showing up for the Myanmar soccer thing. So it's starting to spread out, and Pon's doing a great job of getting the word out there. Myanmar is about 30 minutes from where Chiang Rai, where we're going to be. So we'll be partnering with having him. We have started the branching out into the Burmese, I guess is what you still call them, that group of people over there. So God's starting to work in Pon's heart and getting and using his connections in other countries that we can't get into to start building relationships with those people as well. And this is Gan and Kim. Kim is from Texas. She went to Thailand and was using English as an outreach event. And Gan was not a believer yet in Bangkok, and he met Kim through her teaching him English. And then Gan got saved. Gan was a popular band singer in Bangkok, and his life was involved... pretty much music and drugs were his life, and he dropped out of school, and that was his the way he was going. And he met this missionary in Bangkok that invited him to a Bible study. He's like, well, listen, the only time I can go is at 3 a.m. because I sleep all day and I play band and I go to the bars afterwards, so I'm available at 3 a.m. He's like, great, that's when our Bible study is. I've got two bartenders, I got two bartenders and a couple other musicians. So Gan went at 3 a.m. Bible study and got saved. And then he moved to Chiang Rai, and he was the worship leader at Banantitan Church.
Well, what's awesome about that is Gan got saved, and the thing was he was sick of his life. He didn't like the way his life was going, but he didn't know how to stop it. So he got saved saying, Jesus, I don't really know much about who you are, but if you can save me from my life, then I'll trust you. So he got saved, but he still was struggling with, you know, they get done performing and it's the party scene right after, and he didn't know how to get out of that. So he finally came to the point where he said, I have to give up music, because he didn't know any other way to pull away from the partying that went on after it. So he, you know, told his band, I have to quit. And they mocked him for, you know, oh, this is your Jesus. Your Jesus is making you give this up. And he just said, no, I have to do it. So he gave up the thing he loves, music. And he just moved to Chiang Rai, just working, helping in a restaurant. And he was going to the English school there where he met Kim. Going there and started going to the church and growing, learning more about God, the pastor of the church found out he was a musician and came to him and said, Gan, I hear you like music. And he's like, oh, yeah. He's like, we need someone to lead our music here. Could you do that? And that was his, Jesus came and gave back to him the thing that he loved and the thing that he was gifted to do. And that's just, he's just floored that he can do that for God. So it's just a really, really cool story.
So he wants to use his passion and abilities in music to reach the people in Chiang Rai. So he now is, he goes for 2 weeks to Bangkok to Bible school to learn how to lead worship and mentor those to lead worship. And he wants to do more things like organizing the concert that we ran as outreach events. And once we have the Clay Center built, doing guitar lessons or open mic nights, just things to draw people in and build relationships with them and get them into the Clay Center as well. So we're excited to have Gan a part of our team. And Kim, his wife, is the director of Eden House in Chiang Rai. And that's a home for girls.
For at-risk girls.
At-risk girls. So it's a place for them to come. They don't have anywhere to go. It's more human traffic prevention. So it's preventing them from getting into that industry. It's a place for them to be and get counsel and just help. So Kim's got that going. And our girls and Laura are really excited to be partnering with her and just working and getting in front of the girls there as well.
And Kim was a Division I soccer player, played on the Olympic practice team. So Kenzie immediately fell in love with her. And then, again, my mama's heart, I just seeing God take care of all these things that were things that I worried about for so long. And so she's just so excited for us to come and, you know, she's there with her girls, but to have other people, Kenzie is their age, Madeline is their age, so for her to, she's excited for our girls to come and, you know, play soccer with them and just get involved in their lives, people their own age that believe in Jesus too, so.
So the Clay Center is taking forms everywhere, and we're finding ways to get in front of kids who just need to be loved and who need Jesus, and we're very excited. We also want to be able to reach their families as well. And there we know of a couple. We haven't met them yet, but they're going to be coming to Chiang Rai and working through the Clay Center as well. Dave recruited them. His name is Josh, and I forget what his wife's name is. That's bad. But their last name is?
Morgan.
Morgan. So Josh Morgan. He's from New York. He's a mechanic, and he learned how to work on mopeds. So he's going to come to Chiang Rai and not only work on mopeds for those that can't afford work to be done on their vehicles, but also train people how to be a moped mechanic so we can have some vocational training so they can earn a living and provide for their families as well. So that's just another aspect that's starting to take off that we didn't really see coming right away, but we're excited to see the team that God's building for us in Chiang Rai to really meet the needs of the people there and create opportunities for us to share the gospel with them. So here are things that you can be praying about for us. We shared you the drawings of the Clay Center. We're in the process of raising funds now. ABWE, the project office, is helping us do that as well. So we're in that process. We need to raise $1.3 million to do that. But we've already got a chunk of that taken care of, and God's really starting to open the door to people that that have a heart for missions and are on board with what we're doing to provide money for that. So things are moving along there. Great. We can keep praying for that. Pray for partners. Both the partners that we just shared with you, Alung, Jinda, Bing, Pone, Gan, and Kim, and Josh, pray for them as they're Josh is raising support, and everyone else is getting their Bible training, and just a long agenda that God will continue to bless and work in their ministry with the children at the orphanage there. And also pray for partners for us. We've exceeded 60% as of last week, so our support's really starting to come in. We need to be at 85% by April.
By the end of March.
End of March. So that we can attend the class in May that we need to go to that's required by ABWE. You have to be at 85% to go to field prep. If we don't get there by May, we have to wait until November to take the next class. And our prayer is to be on the field this summer. So we would like, we don't want to be at 100% and then have to wait until November to take the class. So I think we did the math. We need 120 families at $25 a month, and we're there. So pray for those 120 families to come in. And with the church.
You just took care of four of them.
Yeah, you just took care of four of them with the
Thank
church.
You.
So we need 116 now. So you can be praying for that. Again, our prayer and our hope, and really Dave would love it for us to be out there and start taking some of the things off his plate this summer as well. So you can be praying for that. And continue to pray for the Thai people. We've had 900 people that heard the gospel for the first time this past summer. So be praying for God to continue to work in their hearts and really in the hearts of the people there, so they're ready when we get over there to ask questions and hear the gospel. Well, never in a million years I think that God would take a banker and use sports to have an impact in the world. And boy, am I glad that I was wrong and that I'm not God, because I can't be happier now with where God has us, and I'm excited to be back over there. And I'm thankful for all of you who've been praying and supporting us. We can't be more thankful to have you and our team. And hopefully this has been encouraging to you to see how God's using you to have an impact in Thailand. Before we take questions, I always forget to do this, so I left this stuff up here as a reminder. If you guys, we have bracelets that say Chiang Rai, Thailand, Clay Center, so if you want a bracelet to help you remember to pray for us and just create conversation with what God's doing over there with other people, feel free to take one of those. We have a sign-up sheet for our monthly, it's like bi-monthly right now, newsletter. Our next one will be going out here in the next couple of weeks. So if you sign up and you're not receiving it, I probably wrote your email address down wrong, so sign up again. Or if you want to start getting it, sign up, and you'll get our next one. And am I forgetting anything else? Booklets. Oh, and if you do want, we do have some more booklets if you want more information about our family or what's going on over there. Or if you want to take one to share with somebody else, you can come back and take one of those. Does anyone have any questions about the ministry that's going on over there or Thailand or anything else before we turn it back over? So our team right now, we have Dave and Diane Ford. They've been in Thailand for about 12 years. But they've just been in Chiang Rai for about 5. And Dave was with GAP. So he was all over the place in Asia, connecting nationals with partnering with the national missionaries and pastors over there. But now he's just focused in Chiang Rai to get the Clay Center Ministries up and running. So it's going to be Dave Ford and I will be running it, and Laura, and then Dave and Diane Ford. Dave's son Josh just went over there this summer, and he's working at Bon Antitan Church. But he's leading a lot of the Bible studies and discipleship, and he'll be a part of our church plant when we plant a church over there. And then we've got Lisa Morgan, who is a single person, and she works a lot with the orphans over there, so she's on our team. And that's it that's over there right now. And they have Josh Morgan and his wife that will be coming over as well. So that'll be our team for now. Actually, I take that back. John is over there. He's not an ABWE missionary, but he is a martial arts guy. So we'll be incorporating that once we get over there, too, and partnering with him. So that's our team right now.
He's going to be doing a lot of training. The kids who come to the Clay Center, of training them just, my goodness, my
self-defense
brain is... Self-defense.
Things,
yes.
Yeah. So let's see. That's about 8 of us are the team right now over there. Well, we'll be there eventually once we all get over there. Yeah. Any other questions? Oh, we did a good job. All right. All right, we'll turn it back over to you, Pastor.
Well, let's give them a hand, okay? It's always helpful to have them live so you can see that really they are real people and have come from a background, again, of banking and all the things that they bring with them, with fears and challenges and of moving to a whole nother culture with a family. So we'll forego our last song, and we'll just kind of all stand up, and we'll close in prayer. And you'll have an opportunity to meet the Compton family. I trust all of you are able to stay. If you're not, you're going to go home hungry. But I trust you can, and you meet the family as well. So let's bow in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for the privilege of being involved in ministry. I thank you for the example of the Comptons and how they have given up their aspirations here to go halfway around the world or around the world to be able to share Jesus Christ. May that be an inspiration to us to go to that neighbor, to go to that coworker, or the student that is right across from us that studies with us. Father, may we be motivated to do what we can in our world to impact others for Jesus. Thank you for the privilege of supporting the Comptons, and I pray that they would be able to raise their support very soon to be able to get on the field this summer. So, Lord, thank you for their exposure to ministry to us today. I pray that as we fellowship, you would strengthen our body with the food. May the fellowship please you, and may we glorify you through our conversation. In Christ's name, amen.